Welcome to In My Downtown, a podcast by the Michigan Downtown Association, where we feature stories about Michigan's fantastic downtowns. This is Annette Knowles. In this episode, we learn about downtown Bay City's experience with recreational marijuana businesses. Let's get to it.
Well, good morning. I am so happy to have our guest this morning, Marjo Yarrow, who is the executive director of the Downtown Development Authority in Bay City. Welcome, Marjo.
Oh, thank you.
How are things going this summer in Bay City?
Bay City is thriving. There is commotion every day and events and activities. It's almost, honestly, too much. No. It's perfect. It's such a great time of the year to be in Bay City.
Oh, I bet. Summertime in a touristy beach town is awfully enticing to people to attend, which kind of brings me to my first question to help kind of set the stage for us about Bay City. It's been a while since I've been to Bay City. So tell us a little bit about your town.
Well, Bay City was founded in the mid-1800s, and it started as a lumber town, basically. We were the northernmost point and the easiest place for logs as they're coming from northern Michigan down Saginaw River. So this was one of the stops, first ones, which meant that this was a booming town when it was built. What it looks like now is that we have at least 50 beautiful mansions that were built around that time in this incredibly gorgeous downtown that's huge. About 6 blocks by 9 blocks is the center point of this downtown, but it's filled with all these buildings that were built in the mid to late 1800s and are still being used today, which is, again, and it's right off the Saginaw Bay. So we have.
And how far away from you are you from Lake Huron, those types of things?
There's a lot of towns in Michigan. We are about 10 minutes from a state park that overlooks Lake Huron. So we're very easy access to the water right there.
And so are you, like you said, the economy started with, let's say, the lumber and, way, way, way back. What kind of has it transitioned to now? I'm curious.
We transitioned into being a shipbuilding space, and they also were building barrels and things like that, lumber focused. I would say it hit its peak when we had a GM plant in the area and also in Flint. So there was a boom within the industry within spark plug. No, I'm lying to you. can't remember what kind of plant exactly, which today we have, I would say our largest employers are healthcare and schools, universities.
Well, that's really good to know because it helps us understand where your community is at in the process. And we're really here today to talk about pot, actually recreational marijuana dispensaries, but I think it was helpful to kind of understand the evolution of the economy in your community. So I guess my first question for you, Marjo, would be what dispensary do you have in your downtown and when did it open? Can you give me some of the basic, just the basic talking points about the dispensary?
Yeah. And also kind of going back a little bit, I'm just thinking about this. One of the legends and folklore of this community is that we had something called Hell's Half Mile, which was a street that was along the river. And those lumbermen would come down after spending months and months in northern Michigan. And the first thing that they would do is come to this stop and spend it all on alcohol, women, and get in gambling and all kinds of activities. It was known as one of the most dangerous places to be in Michigan at that time, actually. But also, so we have this history of brothels and underground, literally we have underground tunnels and things like that, that is part of our history. So to me, it's kind of fun that we've leaned into the idea of dispensaries. The first ones came in, I remember Loom, which is it's owned by 3 different private business owners in Michigan, but they have 30 different dispensaries now. But they pinpointed, and they wanted to be specifically in downtown Bay City as one of their first to open. And that happened, I think, on 4/20, 2019. I know they were shooting for that date.
Yeah,
I think that
it was right coincidentally. Yeah.
Yep. They were not the first in the area. We have Bay City has issued 50 licenses, but we also have townships that surround us that also have allowed for that, for dispensaries to be there. So I would say Loom was probably the fourth or fifth dispensary when they opened, and in the larger area, maybe within a 5 mile radius. And but they were the first to open again, I think, in April of 2019, quickly followed by another. And so you're asking about the first one. We have many downtown. The city of Bay City decided that they would issue 50 dispensary licenses. And so we have about 24 operating throughout the city right now. I was trying to do some quick math, and they're opening all new ones are opening all the time and closing. So we had Loom Start, Sky Mint, which is a dispensary outside of Colorado, also came in. At the same time, there were other from Arizona and Colorado, other larger companies coming in and buying other properties in our downtown with the intention to make them dispensaries. I'm staring at two of them out my window right now, and but they have never finished development on them. Sky Mint was open for about a year when they closed, and Loom, that first one that I just talked about, closed about a month, less than a month ago, and they were open just shy of 2 years. So now we have those are gone, but we have other smaller operations. So Diamond is in our downtown, right in the heart of our downtown, and they've been open about a year now. We have two more that have recently opened and one more that'll open in the next few weeks, which will bring our active number of dispensaries to four in our downtown district. And I know that there are at least two other licenses in the downtown that have been recently approved. So they're located, again, our district is pretty big, and so there's only one in the main heart of it, but they're easily walking, just a couple blocks from each other at the end of the day.
I'm kind of curious because, by all accounts at this point, it seems like the market for recreational marijuana is being met, and it's statewide. I can't really say, the local microeconomies, but statewide, looks like the market is being met. So how is it that Bay City is supporting so many different locations? Is it the tourists who come up? Is it residents? Is it a mixture?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say that in my experience from hearing from managers and people that are just working and going to the dispensaries, a lot of these dispensaries open with the idea that they will lose money for the first 5 years, with the idea that this is now a race to see who will survive. So 50 licenses are issued. Let's see how many can be built in the first few years, and let's see how many can survive a year or two after that. As we've seen, just in our downtown district, the two big boys, we'll call them, the ones that had outside investment with the idea of having many dispensaries across the state, have left. Sky Mint is still has a location out on about a couple miles outside of town, but they couldn't survive in this space. And all of them seem to be going into this knowing that only a few will survive. That said, their margins are huge. I think that one of the dispensaries talked about making over $10,000 on a typical, like in a slow month, basically. But the cost of operating is so large. You have testing, you have security systems, you have to have an outside security company taking care of the security in your building. There's a certain number of people that have to be there. All of it is just at an increased cost. And so they're really playing on margins, especially again, town of 24 of them. I know that Loom, for example, Bay City had the lowest prices of any of their other dispensaries across the state because it was such a high demand, or such a saturated market in this place.
Did the locations that you have, any of them, whether they're still there or not, I'm assuming you didn't really need to recruit them to Bay City, but did they ask for or did you provide any types of incentives for them to locate in your town?
We did not. And actually, at the very beginning, I know that the first businesses that are still, again, sitting vacant now were met with a lot of apprehension from the business owners and building owners downtown. And so there was absolutely no encouraging dispensaries to move downtown then, and I would say now. But I think that they've mixed very well into into the space that we have, the ones that are operating.
Right. I'm glad you just brought up that point about it being some apprehension, and I wanted to kind of probe on that a little bit, because I do know there are a lot of communities statewide who have opted out of allowing the recreational dispensaries. And so what is it that you feel has been the community response to that apprehension? Is it now people are more accepting? Did they feel that there was going to be this onslaught of crime, or you know, the negative connotations that a dispensary might seem to cause? Has that materialized or been dealt with throughout the community now that they've been open for a couple of years?
Yes. And actually, I didn't really answer your question before too, in that you'd also asked who's using or who's buying products from these recreational spaces. And the answer is, it looks and feels to me like the same people that were getting marijuana from a caregiver or somebody else is still continuing to do that. There's a lot of people that it's a very convenient thing to be able to use. They might've been using before, but they weren't, like, didn't have caregivers and they weren't really into it as much, are coming in now and using it. For example, we had people are quietly using it and buying it, locals in this area. And one of the most, and speaking to one of the other managers of one of the spaces in our downtown, one of his biggest market shares was with tourists. We were two blocks away from two different hotels, and he said that people were in line at 9 a.m. on Sundays to stock up before they left. They were also really beloved and used by people who are attending our concerts in the park and the events that are happening, both performers and concert goers. So you're seeing, I would say, a good mix of people that are local to the area and tourists in the space. And then going back to how people felt, I think everything that you said there is one of those, is a fear that everybody has. Oh my gosh, what will this mean? Will there be more crime? Will there be people using in public? Will there be all the, like, and we haven't really seen any of those changes. Actually, one of the things that surprises me is that when I walk around to business owners, businesses that have been here 20 years plus, and I have asked them, like, what has your experience been watching these dispensaries come in, and what your client base experienced, and has it affected anything at all? They're quietly like, oh, I'm not happy about the dispensaries being in it. They said that they quite often hear from their clients, oh, how about these dispensaries? But they're also going to those dispensaries and buying products there. So I think what we're seeing is that it's going to be a little bit of a culture shift that, hey, marijuana is okay. Dispensaries are fine. And they're not going to affect our lives. I haven't seen any change as far as the number of people's I'm seeing using on the streets doesn't seem to be, it is a problem. And I would say it's a problem because we don't have consumption lounges. Basically, we don't have a place for people to gather that's not in their own homes to use it. And I actually hope that we have a consumption lounge moving forward. I think it would be a great new opportunity, because what we're seeing is just people hanging out in their cars. Residents of some of our apartment complexes don't have a place that they can use, and so they head down to their car. Whether or not that would be super affected by the number of dispensaries we have in our town, I'm not sure. Again, I think people generally use or they don't. And it's nice to have dispensaries nearby, but people will find it however they have found it in the past too.
So Marjo, you just mentioned that some of the people who are frequenting the dispensary are people who might be coming down to, you know, a downtown event like a concert. Given that the law specifies that you can buy, but you must not use publicly, are you experiencing where people are using publicly? And I guess we can also distinguish between the edible formats versus the smoked formats. Yes. Are people using, are they smoking marijuana at your concerts, or how are you trying to deal with that?
That's a good question. And I haven't been here for a lot of the larger concerts and can't speak to one, how many were being used previously before dispensaries and now. I have personally not watched plumes of smoke pile up in a crowd of people at one of our events. And I would say that's because, yeah, they have access to gummies, to vape pens, and other ways to not have to have the dank smell, that marijuana smell in the background.
And with the events, are there other ways that the dispensaries can get involved in the events? Understanding that, you know, with the limited capacity that they have, to do things like sidewalk shopping.
Yeah.
Are dispensaries able to get involved in the events or promotions?
I know that several of the dispensaries have really made it a point to be community focused and get involved in sponsoring things as much as possible. What that might look like is they're sponsoring our annual Jeep ride. They're sponsoring our Chalk Walk Festival, which this is actually a good example because it also features children and adults. And they sponsored, but with the understanding that they would only have their information on adult size t-shirts, and it wouldn't be any promotion that would be anywhere near people under the age of 21. They also, Loom, which has now closed, was the person had offered to, we have a, so let me back up a little bit. So one of our, on the streets of downtown, we closed three of our streets off all summer long. It's called our Feet on the Street Initiative. One of the things that we put in one of those blocks this year was our little community gardens. We have five raised flower beds that we planted things like tomatoes and cucumbers inside. And Loom offered to water and maintain those flower beds all summer long, which was fantastic and a beautiful way to get involved without being too involved. Loom also was really front facing. They would be outside quite often just picking up trash off the streets. They were great neighbors to the people on their block. Just would come in and chat and make sure things were okay. So they were really involved with the community quietly, as much as they can be. The other dispensaries, I haven't seen so much. So they're kind of sticking in their own court so far. But I would expect that we'll start seeing more and more community involvement with our dispensaries as we move forward. And they're, again, they're fighting for that market share.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And it seems like they would want to show the good neighbor side of the business as well. To try to dispel some of the myths that might permeate about their presence in the community. Mm-hmm. So all in all, it sounds like you haven't had too bad of an experience with dispensaries in the downtown area. Am I correct in making that assumption?
We're very correct in making that assumption. I'd say they generally have only been a positive addition to the downtown. We had several spaces that have been sitting vacant for some time that did get redeveloped and are in great shape now. When Loom closed, the manager started offering tours to interested businesses within the next day, because it's rare to find one of these historic buildings that's been renovated recently. So yeah, I think that's, and I know that when the decision was made to issue the licenses, but definitely in the pro column, these guys are going to move in here and they're going to build up these spaces that have been vacant for many years. It's only a net positive for our community in that way. So I'd say the biggest complaints I've seen so far is that we have an annual St. Patrick's Day parade, which is huge. And one of the dispensaries was handing out little candies. And let me see if I can remember what they said. They had little Valentine, you know, the like, I heart you and things like that. And those little candies for Valentine's Day. And it said, we'd get along well or something like that. Something along, you know, kitschy and candy and to market there. Dispensary. And after that was discovered and within the next few weeks, the commission banned candy.
Oh, no.
Because of that dispensary. People were really, and understandably so, really angry that they would be marketing toward children.
The children, yeah.
And the only couple of smaller complaints I've heard are things like the dispensaries are required to have a certain amount of light focused on their entrances. And there are residents that live in three-story complexes across the street from some of these dispensaries. And so they were, you know, bright lights were shining into their bedroom at night. So they had to get darkening curtains. And I would say that's the other biggest complaint I've heard. And one of them has a green neon sign. And just in our downtown, we frown on neon signs. So I'd say that gets talked about more than other things.
But, you know, again, most of the problems are, there's a solution for the issue or the problem that is created by the presence of the dispensaries.
One other thing too is actually I worry most thinking about it as a executive director for a downtown development authority. My job is to protect and make sure that our businesses are succeeding in the downtown district. And I see that the dispensaries, their clients are coming in and leaving within 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And they also need to park close to the facility because they are handicapped, or also something that was being mentioned is that people are a little bit still apprehensive about walking out depending, you know, depending on who you are, walking out of these dispensaries holding a dispensary bag and then walking 3, 4 blocks back to your car. There's less traffic coming to those spaces. And the dispensaries that I've talked to all have asked me for 15-minute parking near or close to their facility because of that, which has been hard to do in our district.
Oh, you know, I would have never given that much thought, but I can understand why that it's more of a destination convenience, one-stop shop. You're not really going to hang out and have lunch and then stop at the recreational marijuana facility and buy your marijuana for the week. So I think it does present maybe some location issues within the downtown that either creating a small cluster of them, kind of like the Wendy's McDonald's theory, where you co-locate the competition. But as far as trying to intersperse it in with other retail and restaurant locations, it may be just a consideration for communities when they're contemplating whether or not to permit this, is to maybe allow them in certain areas of the downtown where you really don't necessarily want to rely on the foot traffic as much. But that is a good point to bring up about the nature of the convenience shopping nature of it, where people are just popping in, buying the product and leaving, and they really have no intention of hanging out in downtown for the day. Would not be something that was on top, in top of my mind when I thought of this subject. So thank you for bringing that up. If you had any advice to share, if you wanted to say anything to a community or a DDA where a recreational dispensary was considering locating, what advice would you have for them?
As an individual, I also lived in California for many years, and so I have had time to sort of release the stigma or the idea around dispensaries and what their effect is in the community. As a person that is wrapped around businesses and building owners in our downtown district every day, I think that the dispensary has been a fine addition to the downtown. The things that everybody will have to get over are the same concerns that you talked about before. What is this going to mean for a community? Oh, I don't. This is going to bring in a bad group of people, and what's this reputation going to look like? But I've only really heard people being accepting of the dispensaries in our downtown from the people that live here. I've also actually tried to ask visitors if they felt at all deterred by the idea that this is a city now that has so many dispensaries, and nobody has chosen not to come here because we have dispensaries in our town. Our rate of crime has not been affected by having dispensaries in the space. And the only things that I might watch out for are making like some regulations around neon signs and parking spaces.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you, Marjo, for spending some time with us today. We really appreciate your thoughts and your ex sharing your experience about the Bay City allowing the recreational dispensaries in the community and in its downtown. So thank you very, very much for sharing your experience with us today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You've been listening to In My Downtown, a podcast by the Michigan Downtown Association. See you next time.